Hello and welcome to the East Valley News for Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. I'm your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Joe Napoli. On Tuesdays, we cover Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. Our first story today is titled, Unending Water Rate Hikes Likely in Chandler's Future, by Ken Sain, Arizonan Managing Editor. There is a lot of uncertainty about Arizona's water future. But there is one aspect of it that residents can bank on. The cost of water is going up. Chandler City Council met March 26th for its third budget workshop, and the key takeaway is that the price of water is heading up again. Council decided to annually increase utility rates so that it could avoid double-digit increases every 2 years. For the current fiscal year, Council passed a 15% increase. The preliminary numbers to the fiscal year beginning July 1st indicate another 9% increase, followed by another 9% increase in fiscal year 2027 and another 9% increase in fiscal 2028. Council is actively trying to secure more water rights, which will cost customers even more in the future. This is actually, out of all the different options that we have for additional water, the least expensive option, said Chief Financial Officer Don Lang. She was speaking of the Bartlett Dam project. Salt River project is raising the water level in Bartlett Dam by raising the height of the dam to restore storage lost to the accumulation of settlement. 20 municipalities are paying for the project. It's part of our water rate model, Lang said. It's an upcoming cost. The third budget workshop focused on capital improvements. Staff presented council with its plan to spend $2.95 billion over the next 10 years on infrastructure. Most of that will be in the Public Works and Utilities Department, $1.44 billion. And that's just the utilities half. The department is also scheduled to get $706 million for streets and alleys. For the current fiscal year, the 10-year capital improvement plan had a budget of $2.69 billion. The fiscal year 2027 budget is 9.6% higher. The city pays for capital improvement projects in a variety of ways. Some funding comes from bond sales that voters authorize. Chandler voters approved bond sales to raise $475 million last November. It also relies on enterprise funds to pay some of the projects. For example, utilities comprise an enterprise fund. What that means is the city treats its water, wastewater, and solid waste programs as a business, and they must pay for themselves. When those costs go up, then rate increases follow. Some on council wanted to pass that cost along to other bodies instead of residents. For example, the quality of water that SRP provides Chandler has deteriorated because forest fires have left more ash and other impurities in it. As a result, Chandler must spend more to clean water to drinking standards. Has there ever been any lobbying effort by the number of cities that are now having to pay an enormous amount more to clean the water? Councilwoman Jane Poston asked. We're buying a product from them, and the product isn't as good as it used to be. And now we, and multiple cities, are having to spend an enormous amount of money to clean up a much less quality product, Poston said. But, Mayor Kevin Hartke said, are they responsible for our fires? Because that's where it really comes from. Public Works and Utilities Director Jeremy Abbott replied, SRP, obviously responsible for their watershed. They are actively increasing their forest management program to maintain the forest, to help alleviate future forest fires. Eventually, that will lead to an improved water quality. There are also additional revenue sources, including federal and state grants and development impact fees. However, with Chandler nearing build-out, development fee revenue is declining. Development impact fees were charged when the city had to spend money to support construction of streets and sidewalks and connecting sewer pipes, for example. Chandler was a pioneer in relying on those fees, following a mantra of growth pays for growth. Here are some of the projects scheduled in the next 10 years that deal with water. Main and valve replacements, $270 million. Pecos redundant 48-inch transmission main, $152.5 million. Wastewater treatment plant improvements, $213.7 million. And the water production facility improvement, $150.6 million. Add in $121.8 million for sewer assessment and rehabilitation. These are the five most expensive items on a list of 15 projects for just water and wastewater. Chandler is planning to spend another $514.4 million for 18 wastewater improvement projects. Not all of the money is going to utilities. There's $50.6 million set aside for the city's new forensic science facility for the police department, which is also getting $24.6 million to renovate the downtown station. Another $276.7 million is going to community services, which has some major parks on its to-do list. There's $38 million for the first two phases of Mesquite Groves Park, which is adjacent to Basha High School in South Chandler. The third phase is projected to cost $41 million. There's $21 million for planned improvements at Schneider Sportsplex and $13.58 million for Lantana Ranch Park. Foley Park and Pool will both be renovated at an estimated cost of $37.7 million. The last park included in the community services is Desert Breeze, which is getting a $10 million renovation. There is money to finish expansion of the multi-gen facility at Tumbleweed Park, $24.2 million. The cost of the Dr. A.J. Chandler Park renovation is listed under the cultural development budget. It only shows $10 million to cover the current work underway. The city had planned on three phases, but has not yet secured the funding for future phases. The next step in approving this year's budget is the all-day budget briefing scheduled for May 1st. Each department presents its budget to council along with budget increases. Council is scheduled to give tentative approval of a budget on May 21st, with the final approval planned for June 11th. The 2026-27 fiscal year budget goes into effect on July 1st. We turn to another article from the Chandler Arizonan, this one titled, Study Shows How Choice Drives Kyrene Pupil Loss. Public School Families Are Voting With Their Feet, by Paul Marniak. Kyrene School District isn't just losing students to declining birth rates, it's losing them to a growing list of competitors. And for the first time, district leaders last month received a detailed picture of where their students are going and why. A presentation last month of the Kyrene Governing Board by education researchers Dr. Matthew Holm and Dr. Patrick Sizek laid out a stark reality for the district. Fewer children live within Kyrene's boundaries, and a smaller share are choosing its schools. That population and market share have placed the district in what the two researchers described as the most challenging position the school system can face. It's not just about fewer kids, Hom told the board. It's about fewer kids and fewer of them choosing you. Hom and Sizek developed a tool that covers every district and all traditional public and charter schools in Arizona, providing consistent depth and comparability across the state. However, their presentation to the Kyrene Governing Board was their first. We do not have any concrete plans to present to other governing boards, though that could evolve as we continue conversations with districts, Hom said. Both graduates of Arizona Public Schools, they wrote their respective dissertations on school choice. They now own and operate a San Francisco research firm, Bespoke Economics, that aims to leverage data, science, technology, and machine learning to enhance Arizona's education system. Hom told AFN, our focus is helping districts contextualize enrollment changes through the lens of both demography, which is loudly outside their control, and choice, and translate those insights into clear, actionable strategies tailored to their communities. He also stressed, at a high level, one consistent theme is that districts find that more of their enrollment change is driven by choice than they initially expected. Many are already aware of declining birth rates and broader population trends, but the competitive dynamics have tended to be much less visible. And he said the tool can help schools develop ways to compete for students by identifying what improvements or enhancements are needed to attract them. Looking at where students are going and aligning those mobility patterns with differences in program offerings and academic performance between schools and nearby alternatives help districts better diagnose unmet needs within their communities, Hom said. Hom told the Kyrene board last month, I believe that the timing really matters right now because districts across the state, including Kyrene, are under real enrollment pressure. In its core, the challenge is very simple to state. You have to bring in enough students, and you have to keep the ones you have. It was within that context that the two researchers presented their findings to the Kyrene board. Just 3 years ago, about 72.7% of Arizona students attended the school assigned to them based on where they live. Today, that number has dropped to 68.4%, according to the presentation. This goes beyond pure demographics, Hom told the board. This is actively public school families voting with their feet. That change reflects a growing willingness among families to seek out alternatives, whether charter schools, neighboring districts, or specialized programs. noting enrollment has declined from roughly 14,000 students to about 12,375 in recent years. Hom said at the same time the percentage of school-aged children within district boundaries attending Kyrene schools has dropped from about 81% to 77%. The researchers' data were based on the 2024-25 school year. The district forecasts a decline of 582 students in the coming school year. What we found is there's about 56% of districts operating in markets where there's a growing number of public school students, yet at the same time they're receiving a smaller share, Hom said. Kyrene is among 31% of districts where there are demographic headwinds and simultaneously are servicing a smaller share of students. Hom and Sizek identified Kyrene's largest competitors, with Horizon Community Schools being the largest, drawing 791 students from within Kyrene boundaries. The next largest is Basis Charter Schools, which pulled away 342 students in Kyrene's boundaries last school year. Tempe Elementary and Chandler Unified Schools were also among the third and fourth highest choices by parents of school-aged children within Kyrene boundaries. While Kyrene also draws students from outside its boundaries, Homestead it is still seeing a net loss annually. Empowerment Scholarship Accounts, which provide state funding to families that want to homeschool or send their children to private schools, are also having a growing impact. Hom said that ESAs in 2024 drew 325 children who live within Kyrene boundaries. As of the first quarter of this year, that number rose to 438, Hom said. It does appear that folks that choose to leave do care a lot about academic quality. He said 63.2% of Kyrene families attended an A-rated Kyrene school, while 26.9% attended a B-rated one. Among in-district families that send their children elsewhere, 76.8% choose A-rated schools. He also noted, what we found in our work and talking to school districts is that it's easier to keep students than to win them back. Sizek also brought up the churn factor, those students who enroll in Kyrene 1 year but go to a different provider the next. He said the district could do more research on why students are moving and develop a predictive modeling that could be a sort of early warning system to reach out to those students while you still have greater access to them. He also suggested low attendance rate is a good indicator of students likely to leave district schools. Superintendent Laura Tone has noted that Kyrene has been examining enrollment loss and where students are going. She said that when the district discovered many Kyrene students were going to Knox Gifted Academy in the Chandler Unified School District, her team began looking at what we do not offer that our gifted families are looking for. Board member Kevin Walsh added, getting that feedback to make sure our programmatic needs align with our families' needs, I think, is huge. Dr. Susie Ostermeyer, Kyrene Executive Director of Accountability and Performance Management, said Sizek's presentation on churn makes it possible to double up our efforts to look at why families stay with Kyrene. She said Kyrene is moving toward a more proactive model, using data to identify students who may be at risk of leaving and intervening earlier. We need to understand who might leave before they leave, she said. Antonejas noted the district already conducts a school climate survey, a social-emotional survey of students and performance indicators. And Board President Trine Nelson stressed that while the study was valuable, it was equally important for school district officials, including the board, to engage on a personal level with parents and other community members. We're all working together, and to me, I see that part of my job is actually to talk face-to-face with people, Nelson said. And I'm not disparaging any of this, because it's incredibly helpful, but that's just what I think. By the way, you can listen to Sun Sounds by going to our website. Go to sunsounds.org. Click the link labeled Broadcast Info and Audio. You'll see a box with programming links with a link to listen live as well as a link for on-demand programs. We have one more big Chandler story, this one titled Board OK's New CUSD's Superintendent's Contract by Ken Sane. Dr. Anna Battle will immediately be making a higher base salary than her predecessor, Frank Narducci, when she becomes the Chandler Unified School District Superintendent on July 1st. The contract that the CUSD Governing Board approved at its March 25th meeting gives Battle an annual base salary of $265,000. It also gives her an annual raise equal to the increase approved for 12-month certified administrators in the district. Narducci's final salary was $250,000. The board approved a 3-year contract on a 4-1 vote, with Vice President Barb Mosden casting the dissenting vote. Because this was a dual action item, we're approving the hiring and we're approving the employment contract, I just want it noted that I'm unhappy with the contract, Mosen said shortly after the vote. She was asked through email what part of the contract she was unhappy with. I am unable to comment due to ARS 38-431.03 confidentiality requirements, she said. Narducci's base contract was for $250,000, but his annual compensation was about $316,000 when benefits are added. That includes a $20,000 performance bonus and monthly and annual stipends. Battle will be eligible for many of the same bonuses. She is eligible for $15,000 in performance-based pay each year of the contract. The board can increase the amount in the second or third years. Battle earns the performance bonus if a majority of the board agrees that she has made acceptable progress toward the goals they give her. Those goals, according to the contract, must be identified by June 30th. The board approved giving Battle a $12,000 annual administrative stipend. The money will offset health care costs, allow for flex spending and disability coverage, and help pay for professional group memberships or other voluntary benefits or deferred compensation. The board cannot lower Battle's salary without her written permission. The board does have the right to unilaterally terminate the contract. Doing so would require payment of 18 months for her base salary to Battle as compensation. The board chose Battle from three finalists in January after a nationwide search. She is currently deputy superintendent for the Roosevelt School District in Phoenix. Battle was previously the superintendent of the Casa Grande Union High School District and K-12 managing director head of schools at ASU Preparatory Academy. Battle was also an assistant superintendent of operations for the Tempe Union High School District. The board chose an outside candidate instead of promoting from within, something it had been doing for more than half a century. I stand before you recognizing that education is more than academics, it's transformation, Battle said in brief remarks after her contract was approved. It's about helping students discover potential within themselves that may not yet be seen and preparing them for a future filled with opportunity, purpose, and hope. Together, we will build on a strong foundation that's already in place. I look forward to working alongside each of you as we continue to move this district forward with purpose, excellence, and hope. I am honored to serve. You are listening to the East Valley News for Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. I'm your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Joe Napoli. On Tuesdays, we cover news from Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. We now turn to a story from Chandler titled Council Shortlifts Five Town Manager Finalists by Aparna Sekar. The Gilbert Town Council has chosen five finalists for town manager from a list of over 30 applicants from across the country. The finalists include two Gilbert assistant town managers. Gilbert residents will have a chance to meet five finalists at an open house 7 to 8:30 p.m. Thursday, April 23rd in HD South Severinson Center. Council will then interview the five hopefuls in executive session the following day, staying close to its timeline in the hope of making a hire by the end of May with a tentative starting date of July or August. Last year, the council began looking for a replacement for Patrick Banger, who left his Gilbert job of nearly 15 years to become Glendale's city manager. Council hired Georgia-based Slavin Management Consultants, an executive search firm, to root candidates and appointed assistant town manager Dawn Prince as the interim town manager. A search committee consisting of Mayor Scott Anderson and council members Young, Kaprowski, and Monty Lyons was also put in place. The subcommittee put together a recruitment timeline for the search and was also responsible for the preliminary candidate evaluations. Here is a look at the five finalists for the town's top administrative position. Ron Corbin, currently Avondale City Manager, Corbin has over 18 years' experience in local government. He was Cottonwood's City Manager for 3 years and Yuma's Deputy City Administrator for 4 years. Corbin was also a medic in the U.S. Army. He holds a master's degree in administration from Northern Arizona University and a bachelor's degree in science and education from Eastern Washington University. Robert Field. Field resigned his position as city manager of Medford, Oregon in November after 14 months on the job, but declined to say why. He has over 25 years' experience in local government. He was city manager in San Bernardino, California, and an assistant executive county officer for Riverside County in California for over 11 years. Field holds a Master's in Leadership and Organizational Studies from California Baptist University and a BA in History from the University of California, Riverside. Allison Zelms. Zelms is currently City Administrator of Rochester, Minnesota, a position she's held since January 2021. With 25 years in local government, she was deputy city manager for Mankato, Minnesota for 5 years, and before that, the deputy city manager for Prescott, Arizona for 5 years. Zelms has also served for 5 years as Sedona's deputy city manager. She holds a master's in public administration from the University of Kansas and a bachelor's degree from Augustine College, Illinois. Zelms is also a credentialed manager with the International City-County Management Association. Mario Pangina. Pangina was hired by Banger as an assistant town manager last year after 27 years working for the City of Phoenix. At Phoenix City Hall, he was a deputy city manager for over 10 years, overseeing the aviation, public transit, public works, and sustainability departments. He also served as a staff sergeant in the United States Air Force for 7 years and holds a BS from Arizona State University. For Gilbert, he currently oversees the Finance and Management Services, the Office of Management and Budget, Human Resources, and the Parks and Recreation Departments. Leah Reinheimer. Reinheimer is also a Gilbert Assistant Town Manager, a position she has held for 5 years. Prior to that, she was a Gilbert Deputy Town Manager for 4 years. She has also held the roles of Intergovernmental Relations Director and Assistant to the Town Manager in Gilbert. Before coming to Gilbert, Reinheimer served as the Assistant to the City Manager in El Mirage. She has over 15 years of experience in local government. Reinheimer holds a master's degree in public affairs and a bachelor's degree in government and politics from the University of Texas at Dallas. In Gilbert, Reinheimer is responsible for Gilbert's police, fire, and public works departments and the town's Native American Management Internship Program. Did you know you can take Sun Sounds with you on our free, dedicated mobile app available for both iPhone and Android phones? Next up, we have an article titled GPS proposes $272 million spending plan amid uncertainty by Aparna Sehar. Amid uncertainty surrounding a state budget, Gilbert Public Schools Administration is proposing a $272 million spending plan for the next school year that includes a 2% pay raise for all employees and anticipates a $3 million hit from the loss of 1,200 students. At a governing board work study last week, Superintendent Dr. Shane McCord explained that this proposal is subject to changes as the legislature and Governor Katie Hobbs haven't even begun budget negotiations. Those negotiations not only involve the inflation adjustment for basic school subsidies, but also the fate of funding provided by Proposition 123, which expired last year. Hobbs and lawmakers have not been able to agree on funding and the wording of a new proposition that would be on the November ballot. We don't know when the legislature will have a final budget, McCord said. There have been stalemates going on, and our hope is that something is done by the end of June. I'm very hopeful, but by the time our fiscal year ends, we will have a budget from the state, he added. The new fiscal year begins July 1st. Added Bonnie Betts, the Associate Superintendent for Business Services, most of my peers are definitely budgeting that the money from Proposition 123 is going to be there, but it's still a risk. Betts also noted that the district is assuming a 1,200 student enrollment drop. This results in a decrease of 1,445 weighted students, even though we're looking at a 1,200 ADM average daily membership loss, so we're seeing a greater decrease in the weighted students than we're actually projecting, she said. State aid to public schools is based on this weighted student contact, which is calculated by multiplying a student's average daily membership with support levels the student would need, such as special education or career technical education. Beth said that GPS can expect a greater loss at the elementary level due to a decade-long birth rate decline that is resulting in fewer students entering kindergarten than the number of seniors who graduate. Additionally, GPS, like all East Valley Public School districts, is looting students to charter schools, empowerment scholarship accounts expansion, and high housing costs that keep families of school-aged children from moving into Gilbert. Betts also said the district assumes that student loss will be evenly divided between elementary and high schools, as the weighted elementary count is little less than that of 9 to 12 grades. Moreover, GPS has also seen a drop in high school senior enrollment historically because more seniors are opting to graduate early. Board President Chad Thompson questioned whether the drop in GPS elementary school student counts was due to a loss or not as big a gain. Betts explained the district has 200 fewer kindergartners than last year. Enrollments, compared year to year, are down at this point, McCord added. Betts also said that GPS is generally conservative in assessing a student enrollment drop each year. I think it's a smart way to budget, just for the mere fact that you're not covering your losses later that you didn't project for, McCord said. And other districts have not done that, and they've had to reconfigure their budgets mid-year because of that loss, and that's something we hope to maybe get back money from the state, he added. The district is anticipating a 2% inflationary increase in basic state subsidy, an increase in district additional assistance that covers smaller capital costs, and an increase in the free and reduced lunch program allowance. However, GPS has not factored some of those increases in its proposed budget. We don't know whether it's going to be an ongoing or one-time increase or what it might look like when the legislature is done, so we left it out, Betts said, noting that lawmakers made the DAA increase a one-time hike in last year's budget. Additionally, Betts added, I never know for sure what's going to happen with Prop 123, so it isn't the budget, but it's a risk. In calculating the district's latest budget, Betts said they were assuming a teacher experience index, TEI, of 1.0169, an increase from last year's figure of 1.0121. This index helps districts secure higher funding for their schools with more experienced full-time teachers. Betts said the budget also proposes a 2% raise for all employees, costing about $5.89 million. The Gilbert Education Association posted an announcement that GPS has agreed to give self-contained teachers in hard-to-fill positions a $6,000 annual raise and $3,000 for teachers in other hard-to-fill positions. According to Betts, the district is also set to see a jump in classroom site fund money. This allocation is aimed at raising teacher salaries, reducing teacher-student ratios, and other student support services. It went up to $883 per student from $842, so a $41 per student increase, she said. The district expects $31.72 million in classroom site fund in the new fiscal year. About $130,000 of the pay raise will be set aside for reclassifying and paying GPS on-campus security officials higher wages. The issue is, we're having a difficult time keeping them. There's a lot of turnover in campus security, Betts said. So assuming that we would increase their grade by one or two, it would cost us about $130,000 more a year. GPS has also secured $7.15 million in budget savings in the last few years, Betts said. That includes a $4.9 million decrease in district office personnel costs and a closing of Pioneer Elementary. The district is also looking at a proposed capital budget of $57.17 million, down from $63.22 million last year. Even with a balanced budget, Betts said that some pending decisions at the state level pose a risk to the district's spending plan. Betts said that the state's aggregate expenditure limit, AEL, for public schools is still looming, and GPS stands to lose $40 million in its budget if the limit is enforced. And that's all we can squeeze into the East Valley News for Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. I'm your volunteer broadcaster, Joe Napoli, thanking you for listening to the East Valley News and encouraging you to stay tuned for our other programs here on Sun Sounds of Arizona.